When a government can confiscate the earnings of the people with no restraint or no limit whatsoever on the amount that government takes, then government has become the master.
Didn't you say that all services were worth at least $5.15, and here there is a service that's being rendered to you personally, which you are not compensating at all?
No, I said to you earlier, unless someone decides that they want to volunteer.
During the election, all this enthusiasm for Bernie Sanders was taking place while people in Venezuela, under a socialist government, were starving. They were breaking into grocery stores to get desperate to get food.
For regulations.
Regulations.
Some regulations.
Have regulations.
Regulation.
What do you think is should be the proper income tax rate?
Well, the best would be zero.
Welcome back to another episode of Law Profits here on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I'm King Ginger. And my... I don't even want to take the mask off now because my mouth is, like, my face is sweaty. This is awful. This is absolute tyranny. And we're going to be talking about that today because there seems to be so much, just absolute so much, just hostility towards this mask thing. Either you're 100% opposed to wearing the mask, or you're 100% angry at people who don't wear the mask, and it's a war. It's a war that's taking place. And guys, I've got to take this mask off right now, because it's just not going to work. Hopefully it gets clickbait on the people that are just tuning in, though. So, as I was saying, Maricopa County is incredibly hard-nosed about wearing this mask. I imagine it's the same in other areas of the country, but I've only been confined by law to Arizona recently because you haven't been able to travel anywhere. Although, by the way, I should mention we are going to Grace Agenda August 13th, I think. Me and the wife will be out there. I'm looking forward to that. Got an email the other day that said it's going to be happening come hell or high water. And I will just say, if they were to cancel the conference, we're still coming. So I think there's a lot of people that are still coming. You know what's amazing? It just occurred to me, since I've taken the mask off, just my energy levels increased. Like at the beginning of the show, I was kind of like, but just taking the mask off, it's almost like it's easier to breathe or something. And you can play it back, and you'll be able to tell. People aren't lying about it being difficult to breathe, especially. I think even more so if you have a beard. Like, we're already trying to breathe and gather oxygen through our beards, man. And then you put the mask on, and it's like, it's another layer. It's another layer. And, but a lot of the question that seems to be popping up is, should we wear a mask even if it's not a sin to wear a mask? And so there are some cities in Arizona that have given religious exemptions. So the question would be, is there enough of a substantial religious exemption to not wear a mask? And I know that there are a lot of people on my Facebook that disagree with me. There's a lot of people, probably even in my own family, that disagrees with me. However, I think there needs to come a point where we say, you know what, we're not going to wear a mask. Look, guys, we've given up church. Can we at least not be forced to wear a mask? Like, if you want to give up church, that's fine. But I don't want to give up the ability to breathe. Freely, to breathe freely. I think we have a right to life in this country. I've always been a prominent supporter of a right to life, and when it's difficult to breathe, I feel like that is the government trying to restrict my right to life. Can we make that argument? No, I think there's actually a legitimate case here, and We could look at the laws in the Old Testament, which we are going to look at the laws in the Old Testament and how they're used for quarantining. They didn't have masks in the Old Testament, so we can't say, see, there's no law about wearing masks. But we can make a general case. And the Bible talks about cleanliness, and the Bible talks about quarantining and the importance of that. A lot of that's in Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 13. And if we go to our screen here, which by the way, it really sort of just knocked it off when I did that, didn't it? Oh, let's try to fix that a little bit for the viewers at home. There we go. That's better. So Leviticus 13 says a lot about cleanliness. But the one thing, if we read this, we can start in verse 24. It says, when the body has burned skin on it, as raw flesh, has become spot, reddish, red, or white, the priest shall examine it. If the hair of spot has turned white, and it appears deeper than the skin, then it is a leprous disease. It has broken out, and it's burned, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of a leprous disease, but the priest examines it. There is no white hair in the spot, and is no deeper than the skin, but has faded. The priest shall shut him up for 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. It is spreading the skin, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a case of leprous disease, but if the spots remain in one place and does not spread in the skin as faded, it's a swelling from the burn, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is a scar of the burn. So there is this sort of examination of those that might be sick. Here we see this. It could be a burn, or it could be a leprous disease. We're not sure. So who does the inspection? The priest does the inspection. What's interesting here is how deeply rooted. I think this is a tough conversation that a lot of people seem to miss when we talk about these quarantining laws and the role of government. But a lot of this stuff is really, really deeply rooted in cleanliness and uncleanliness, and priests and the priest and the role of the priest in determining cleanliness and uncleanliness. And from this, we see that these provisions are made. Now, I don't see anywhere in here that there are, I don't see anywhere in the text where there are punishments for those that refuse to do as the priest says. Now, we know that it's sin, but there's not a lot of instruction as to whether or not it being a crime. But we do know that if somebody were to be sick and they knew they were sick and they were to get somebody sick, then they would be punished for, in the same regards as attempted murder, for not loving their neighbor, for bringing them to death. And I think even today, wholeheartedly, we as a nation, we still agree with that. If somebody has AIDS and knows they have AIDS and they go around and they get a lot of people sick with AIDS, they have sex and they get people sick with AIDS, they can be put in prison. That's still upheld. But again, they're not put in prison for not having AIDS, and even if it was even if they accidentally got somebody a disease, we don't put them in prison for that. At least, well, I mean, we might soon. But the one thing I thought that was interesting in that passage, we talk about the priests and the cleanliness and the uncleanliness, it seems as if, to me, that this is another case to show that the role of determining the health of a community and what is healthy and what is not healthy and what is clean and what is unclean is really the role of the priest, it's the role of the church. And I've been saying this for a long time, that we're so dependent on the government. We're so dependent on Dr. Fauci and the CDC to tell us how healthy we are as a nation, that we've kind of forgotten the fact that this isn't the government's responsibility. Healthcare is not the responsibility of the government. And it's interesting to me because for the longest time, A lot of you conservatives, hold up, did I just get a super chat? Could it be $3 super chat from Grant Sundberg? He says, keep preaching, Marcus. Mask ordinances are dumb. They indeed are. Thank you, Grant. I really appreciate the super chat. If you'd like to send a super chat, you can go to youtube.com/IamKingGinger. That is I am King Ginger, not I am King Ginger. It's I am. That is confusing. I, letter M, King Ginger. Somebody in the chat was telling me that, hey, it's not I am King Ginger. It's I am King Ginger. It's like, yeah, that's what I said. So anyway, you can go there. You can leave a super chat. I can also take your questions if you leave a super chat too, for sure. So as I was saying, that the conservatives have been saying for a long time, a really long time, that hey, the role of the government is not to be involved in people's health care. That's a personal decision. That you remember all the Obamacare stuff? It'd be interesting. Maybe I should do it. Maybe I should pull up a bunch of clips of liberals, Republicans arguing against the government's role in healthcare. We need free choice of our healthcare. We can make our own decisions when it comes to healthcare. But suddenly, when it comes to masks, you have Governor Ducey imposing health mandates on the populace. And my concern here is that Republicans doing this, Republican governors, Republican mayors, and Republican voters who are supporting these mask mandates are not going to have a single case, they're not going to have any authority whatsoever to be able to resist government mandated health care. And that is coming the very next time a liberal gets president, whether it's this November or it's the next time. They absolutely 100%. They're not at all going to be able to have any authority to resist government healthcare, because they'll say, well, yeah, but you guys were totally cool with masks. You guys were totally cool with allowing there's some noise and I don't know if where it's coming from. But anyway, so the governor is saying, I'm sorry, let's start over. So when we have government mandating masks, we lose our authority to say that the government cannot regulate healthcare, or cannot mandate healthcare, or give out free healthcare. There's nowhere to stand on. And my other concern, most importantly, is if we do get government mandated health, when we get government mandated healthcare, what slightest sickness or bug or disease is going to make everything shut down again, especially when the government has to pay for the hospitals? When the government has to pay for your health care, they're going to take an extra sense of urgency, and they're going to shut places down for the common cold. And that's just what's going to happen. It's going to be very, very difficult in the future to gain any ground at stopping government health care. Now, my favorite argument against wearing the mask is, of course, my body, my choice. I've always had liberals complain to me that I'm not wearing a mask, whether on Facebook or that you're killing people. Da, 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 da. Well, my body, my choice. Don't I have a right to kill people if I want to? you don't hear anybody being able to make a sensible response to that sort of discussion. But again, we hear it all the time. We hear it all the time. And so, again, so this is an issue of authority. This is an issue of where do you tell the government to draw those lines? And I want to say that when you tell the government, no, you can't cross this line, I think it's really important that those lines are not lines derived by the United States Constitution, but they're lines derived from Scripture. Scripture is the one that tells us the role of government. I mean, we could always just jump to Romans 13. Everybody likes to jump to Romans 13. Romans 13 is very clear, especially nowadays. People are going to Romans 13 all the time with very, very poor interpretations of it. And that, you did not send me to Romans 13. Here we go. Here we go. So, I mean, just going to Romans 13, we can see it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Now, remember, if we're really going to go into a really thorough explanation of Romans 13, we have to go to Romans 12, because Romans 12 gives a lot more context to this. But in specific, it says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. So now it's saying, hey, look, we have to obey the government. However, it says, for rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. So that always begs the question, well, what if he's not looking out for our good? Now it goes on, it says, if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Now, I've said this over and over and over again. When we're talking about Romans 13, the government's job is to terrorize those who do evil, an actual evil act. If I have coronavirus and I go into public and I start coughing and hacking and wheezing and spitting on people because I want them to get coronavirus just like me, then I am doing an evil act. If I am asymptomatic and I don't know that I have coronavirus, and I accidentally cough and maybe I gave it to somebody, even if coronavirus is asymptomatic, I've heard so many conflicting reports about, like, what is coronavirus? I know I believe it's real. I believe people have gotten sick and have died from it. I do. But what is it? Like, they've turned the coronavirus into this philosophical, imaginary dream of a disease. Maybe it was engineered by China to be that way. I don't know. Maybe it was made in a lab. I don't know. Whatever it is, the story keeps changing depending on what news outlet you read. And that's the most infuriating thing about this whole thing, is that we just don't know. The government keeps changing its mind. It keeps saying stuff. The government has, no desire to be authoritative in which it speaks, and to speak honestly and truthfully. We have a government that can lie one day, change their mind, come out and say something completely different without them even acknowledging that they were wrong in the first place. And so the government is trying to tell us that we need to have a mask on one day. And then the next day, the Surgeon General of the United States is saying, don't wear a mask. Have you guys seen that video? Let me see if I can find that video real quick. Let's pull that up, because that video is fun. Surgeon General mask tweet. I wonder what Snopes says about that. Here it is right here, right? Oh, wow, that came up really fast. Okay. Seriously, stop buying masks. They are not effective in preventing general public from catching coronavirus. But if healthcare providers can't get them to care for sick patients, it puts them and our communities at risk. This was February 29th. The best way to protect yourself and your community is with everyday preventative actions, like staying home when you are sick and washing hands with soap and water to help slow the spread of respiratory diseases. Get your flu shot. Fewer flu patients equals more resources for COVID-19. Okay, so see, here we go. This was on February 29th, 2020. It's since been retweeted 61,000 times and has 71,000 likes, which is a very significant number on Twitter, by the way. But then here you have Surgeon General of the United States, profile picture in a mask. There he is. And it's just amazing to me. Let's see if he, what's this? Let's see if he says anything about
that's
wearing
together to slow the spread of coronavirus. Now we must continue to take personal responsibility to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Because even though not all of us risk a severe case of coronavirus, we all risk getting it and spreading it to others, maybe without even realizing that we're sick. So if we want to get back to school, back to work, back to worship, and back to overall health, there are things our country needs to do.
Let's follow
state and local guidelines.
Let's just stop there for a second. Because I don't like it when the government says, if you guys want to get back to worship, if you guys want to get back to worship, there's some things that you gotta do. You hear me? If you want to worship Jesus, if you want to get back to worshiping your God, you better do what I say. You hear me? You better not pray for 30 days. Not even a prayer for 30 days. It's only going to be 30 days. It's not going to be five. They canceled the Rose Bowl. That's in January. We're past 30 days, Daniel. We're past that. So anyway, super chat from my lovely wife. And she says, what would you say to people who said that they have learned so much more about the virus than they did at first, and they are trying to conserve personal protection equipment? What would you say to people who said they have learned so much about the virus than they did at first, and they were trying to conserve... Oh, the Surgeon General. I don't think they've learned more about the virus... because the story keeps on changing every single day. I don't think they know anything really about this virus, or if they've learned more about the virus, I would argue they've learned it's probably less of a threat than originally planned. And the governments have already seized control. But thanks for the $5 money laundering, my beautiful wife. I really appreciate it. Thanks for that super chat. Okay, it just goes right back. we're washing money here. But yeah, so again, I don't like it when the Surgeon General is telling you, if you want to get back to worship, you better do what I say. I just don't like it. I'm not a fan. Doesn't that bother us? Why doesn't that bother us? Why does that bother you when the government says, look, if you want to get back to worshiping your God, you're gonna wear that mask. You're gonna wear that mask so tightly around your face. At some point, you just have to say, look, here's the thing. You as the government have a job, and that job is to terrorize those who do evil. Me going to the grocery store without a mask on is not an act of evil. If I'm feeling fine, if I don't have a cough, if I'm not sick, and I'm not going around coughing on every banana, then it's not an act of evil. A new super chat from James Baird for $10. Well, James, let's look up 1 Peter 2:13, shall we? I'm pretty sure I know what it is. I just want to read it correctly, by the way, for those that were wondering. All right. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. whether to be the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. Again, so yeah, so this says the same thing as Romans 13. Or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So yeah, so this is, again, it's not allowing the government to get away with everything. And the best example of this, James, is Toby Sumter's argument. I still think this is one of the best examples of this whole mask policy, for sure. Is Toby Sumter said, if the mailman, the United States Postal Service, a government employee, he's you're required to submit to him according to Romans 13. He is a government postal worker, by the way. If he comes to your house and orders you to eat a box of Fruit Loops, you would say, nah, that's good, man. Why don't you go continue to deliver the mail? You wouldn't just do whatever he says according to Romans 13. You would say, no, you're a mailman. You don't have any authority in my house to tell me what to eat. And the same is true. So obviously, when the government says we're to submit to authority, it's not to say that we're supposed to submit to every authority whatsoever. And another example of this it would be, if you are to submit to the government who's being abusive with their powers, should a wife submit to a husband who is beating her and her life is in danger, right? Or and a lot of people, of course, would say, no, she should go get rescued. That man is not following his vows, and her life is in danger and a threat. So, and he should be given the death penalty, and that covenant should eventually, obviously, be broken through that death penalty for his acts of aggression towards his wife. But anyway, that's a different discussion. But ultimately, the point is the same. The point is the same, that just because somebody tells you to do something from the government doesn't mean that they have that authority to do so. So here it is, guys. Here's my religious exemption. My religious exemption, when I walk into a store and they demand me to put a mask on, I see most of the time I simply say, I have an exemption. And most 95% of the time, although it's gotten worse the past week, most of the time the people go, okay, and they ignore you. But when I say that, I'm not necessarily referencing a health exemption as much as I am referencing a religious exemption. And that religious exemption is that the government has no authority to tell me to wear a mask. Now, that of course begs the question, but it is a private institution. It is a private organization. And a private business can tell you to wear a mask. Absolutely. And if a private business wants to tell me if the private business says, hey, look, we're just doing masks here, okay? That's just, we feel uncomfortable and we don't want to risk anybody. We just want to wear a mask here. Then I will put a mask on. I have not yelled and screamed and went full Karen for being forced to wear a mask. I put it on. But I do say I have an exemption first. And I'm always referencing first and foremost the religious exemption. So that brings me to Fox's Cigar Lounge. I was in Fox's Cigar Lounge the other day. I was going to meet a friend. As I was walking up, I noticed there were signs on the door that said, mask required at all times. The only exception is if you're smoking a cigar. And I was like, well, I left my mask at home, but I'm smoking a cigar, so no big deal. So I walk in, and I get like two steps in the door. And this is another thing that drives me crazy, are these employees, these minimum wage employees at these places who are trying to use this mask law as a reason to yell at their customers. And this guy just goes, hey, sir, you need a mask. And I was like, what? I'm sitting right here. Can I just sit right here? He's like, no, you need a mask. I was like, yeah, but I'm going to smoke a cigar. And now, like, the whole store, right? It's not that big. It's like maybe 15 or 20 people in there, not social distancing 6 feet apart like the sign says, by the way, because that's impossible because they don't have a single seat that's 6 feet apart in a whole place. That's another issue. So he's saying, you need to wear a mask. All these people are looking at me. And I'm like, I have an exemption. And he's like, well, where's your doctor's note? Now, I wasn't referencing the medical exemption, but I could have. So I decided to just play along this route. And I said, look, man, I don't have to give you a note. And he's like, yeah, you have to prove that you don't need a mask on. You have to prove it. And I said, well, I mean, should I show you like a surgical scar from like heart surgery if I don't? So like I had a polo that was already in button. I just like was like, hey, look, I have a surgical scar from heart surgery. Is that there? And he goes, no, that's not good enough. I need an actual doctor's note. At this point, I'm just like, all right, I don't know what to do. I asked him, I was like, do you have a paper mask? Do you have a paper mask? Can I have like one of the cheap disposable fake masks? And he was like, no, we don't have any. So he was going to kick me out of the store. And at this point, like I honestly didn't know what to do if it wasn't for this one guy that he stands up, he puts on a mask and he says, I'll get a cigar for you. tell me what you want. And I was like, thank God for you, sir. And then the customer told me, cool, he must have obviously been somebody, a regular there, because he had a lot of authority when he spoke. He said, you sit down there, and I'll go get your cigar. And the cashier was like, whatever. And the point is, first off, I am pretty libertarian when it comes to free market economics. Anyway, I'm really libertarian when it comes to free market economics. Anyway, I just want to call myself a libertarian. But anyway, so I believe that the cigar lounge has the authority to tell me, hey, look, we need, you need a mask here, even if it's 20 seconds when you're going into the humidor. You can take it off as soon as you light that cigar up. Totally fine. No big deal. I'm okay with that. But here's the thing. They're not doing it because they care about your health. These businesses are not doing this because they're genuinely concerned for the fear and safety of their customers. I really do not believe, well, there might be some, but for the most part, 95% of the time, the reason these businesses are making you wear a mask is because the government says so. So I went to another cigar lounge, the one that I actually like doing. I know the owner is very libertarian. And when they banned bars shut down, he stayed open. His cigar lounge stayed open because, this is true, he made you buy a bag of potato chips. And with a bag of potato chips, that classified him as food service. So you were allowed to stay open. So this guy knows what he's doing. He's good. Turns out, I asked him, I said, why is Fox's being so insane when it comes to these sort of things? Why is Fox's losing their minds when you walk 1 second in the door? And he says, oh, that's because their other location in Scottsdale got their liquor license removed. So again, their hostility towards people not wearing a mask for 20 seconds is not Reddit/cigars. And I say this to Reddit/cigars because I posted a story in there and they all jumped on me because one of the moderators for Reddit/cigars, I believe, works at Fox's. And so they all jumped at me and defended, oh, Fox's is worried about people's health and da da da. They are not worried about your health. They're submitting to the government out of fear and cowardice. And it's going to result in them losing a lot of customers and a lot of business because they won't stand their ground. So you can take that cigar subreddit because that is what's really happening. And feel free to share that on the forum. Because I'm libertarian too. I know what I'm talking about. You can't just recklessly defend them and say they're worried about people's health. No, they are not. They're worried because they got their liquor license taken away from them. That's why. So there. Deal with it. And that's the thing. So the government is now making businesses force people to wear masks out of threat of losing their liquor licenses. And to that I say, as a Christian, the government has no authority, none whatsoever, to force businesses to lose their liquor license because people aren't wearing a mask in their store. It is their property, and they can determine whatever they want, and they can serve any customers they want, whether they have shirts or shoes or masks or I was going to say pants, but I mean, please serve customers that only have pants. So, yes. So that's the point. And we have to listen. We have to resist these mask laws for the good of these businesses and these owners who are losing business because they're afraid of the government. The government's going to take their livelihood away. The government's going to shut them down. We have to resist this. We have to take our mask off for the good of these business owners who might not even realize it. As a Christian, we're to love our neighbors. And someone in the chat said they shouldn't even need a license to sell what they own. Absolutely right. That's a whole nother episode and a whole nother subject, but you're absolutely right. So, but anyway, so that's what I'm saying. This mask issue, it's one to say God has set a wall along government authority. And when you order people to wear a mask, you are violating and jumping that wall of God's authority that he has placed. And you need to get back. You need to take a step back. That's number one. Number two, there are businesses that are losing customers. They're losing money. They're losing income. They're losing their liquor licenses because of this. And we, as American citizens, we need to stop just ignorantly following this law out of some delusion that it's about safety of people. And we need to say, stay in your lane, government. Get out of my friend's business. Get out of my neighbor's business. Get out of their finances and who they hire. But we can't do that, can we, really? We can't. What authority do we have to do it? We've already said we'll shut down our churches until 2021. As I believe it was it Andy Stanley or Stephen Furtick or both of them? Probably both, maybe. So we've already shut down our churches. I mean, I imagine if I was raiding a town, I'd want to destroy the churches first. I'd want to get knock out. I mean, talk about a blow to self-esteem to all the people there. Right? And the government's already done that. They shut down the churches and we said, okay. And now we want to complain about masks? They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you complaining about wearing a mask. Are you kidding me? Get out of here. You've already surrendered. You've already given it up. It's over. You're done for. I mean, what else? What other ground do you have? Mark Dever tweeted this today, and it just shows, like, I just don't like it. And Mark Dever's, I believe for the most part, he's done a lot of great work and stuff, and this is an attack on him specifically, but he said this on Twitter. He says, Hymns you look forward to singing again with your congregation pre-COVID style. I just was like, what do you mean look forward to singing again? And I responded and I said, we never stopped meeting or singing hymns. It was amazing the amount of attention that got. It got some trolls too. But and then of course the clown, of course. But but yeah, we never stopped. But look at the assumption of Mark Dever. Look at this assumption. And he's right. It's a valid assumption. Do you guys miss singing hymns? together as a congregation? Do you guys miss it? I mean, it's insane. It's utterly outrageous and depressing. This sort of mentality, and I have to say, something has to break very soon. Maybe it's a grace agenda. Maybe that'll be the thing that sets everything off when all these Christians from out of town flood into a city, a very liberal city, and tell the government, we're going to worship God and there's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do. We're going to have church. And people all over the country are going to come to Grace Agenda on August 13th and 14th, I believe. 14th or 15th? 13th through 15th? They're going to come there for Grace Agenda. And they're going to worship God in the liberal town of Moscow. Whoa. It's going to be fun. I'm excited to see what happens. Can't wait. And then they're going to do it again. We're going to do it again in October for the Fight Laugh Feast Conference. We're going to tell the city, hey, we're going to have a conference. And people are coming. People are going to show up. That's what's going to happen. It's going to be great. So make sure you sign up for the Fight Laugh Feast Conference. You can go to fightlaughfeast.com and sign up for it there. Really excited about that. It's going to be a lot of fun too. So yeah. So there's got to be something that breaks. There's got to be a resistance to this tyranny. There's got to be a sort of rebellion, a righteous rebellion, nonetheless. But there has to be one. There has to be one. It reminds me of Pastor Zach was telling me the story of when Jonathan ate from honey and Saul ordered that he be killed. And the people stood up and said, we will not kill him. We will not kill him. They defied the orders of the king and they stood together in unison. And they said, no way, we will not kill him. And that's what we need to do. We need to resist the government because there are people's businesses at stake. And I haven't been live streaming for a while because I've just been tired, honestly. This being locked in the home as much as we have has just, it's been discouraging and it's been hard. Like, what is there to talk about? It's the same stuff. They're making us wear a mask. They're closing down the churches. The churches haven't opened up again. They haven't opened up again. And I feel like every time I do this show, I'm just saying the same stuff. Follow God's law. Hey, can we just follow God's law? Hey, critical race theory, right. There's problems, whatever. Can we just follow God's law? And I just keep, every episode, it just seems to me, it's the same thing. Over and over and over again. Follow God's law. Follow, what's the application of God's law in this? How do we address the government? We can look to the Bible and follow God's law. Follow God's law. I saw a tweet that I did, or like it was a Facebook post I posted. Let me see if I can find this. It was a memory. It might be too far back. It was a Facebook memory that I had from a decade ago. And it was telling people to follow God's law. And I shared it. I doubt I'll be able to find it, mainly because Facebook is really slow at being able to go back in your timeline. I'll give it 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1, 0, -1. Yeah, it was a while back ago. Anyway, it was a post I made from 10 years ago. It came up in my Facebook memories and I reshared it again. And it was saying, or it was like 4 years ago, maybe not 10 years ago. There was something else I posted 10 years. There was a tweet that I did 10 years ago, I think. But the this post specifically was from 4 years ago. It was from 2016. And it was in response to something that happened in Texas. And I said, the only way we're going to fix gospel relations in our country is by going back to God's law. The only way we're going to fix racial issues in this country is going back to God's law. I said it in 2016. I keep saying it. We have to look at the Old Testament. What does the Old Testament say about this situation when it comes to issues of justice? Just like we look to the Psalms if we want to learn how to write music, we go to the Old Testament if we want to learn how to write laws. It's very simple. It's very easy to do. And we don't do it. We hate to do it. We look for other options. We think that the United States government is the best government that's ever been made in the history of the world. And although that might be true from a government that's not Israel, I would say that God's government to Israel is the best government in the history of the entire world, and not the United States, not the U.S. Constitution. It's the United States. It's the government that God gave in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Mainly Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But those first five books, you get a lot. You can get a lot in there. So, but anyway, I think we can wrap it up here, right? I'll take questions. Answer some super chats or whatever that comes through. We can hang out. But I think that's good. Be sure to sign up for the Fight Laugh Feast Club. Join the Fight Laugh Feast Club at fightlaughfeast.com and sign up for the Fight Laugh Feast Conference that's coming up in October. Looking forward to it. It's going to be great. I hope to see you guys there. And maybe I'll see you guys at Grace Agenda, too, in Moscow. That'll be a lot of fun. So again, thanks everybody for listening, and let me make sure, let's just wrap the show there.